TV.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to MCTV. Ho, there was a small church somewhere. I don't want to say where, but there was a church that recently, over the weekend, celebrated that they had over 200 baptisms. Yes, over 200 baptisms. Well, this is to be expected because the United States, and in fact the world, has been ignited into a religious revival as opposed to a spiritual revival. And honestly, the first sign you need that it is a religious, and I will go so far as to even say a physical revival rather than a spiritual revival, is baptism. Now, there is a time and a place. There was a time and a place for baptism, water baptism, because that's what these churches do. They have tanks of water in their sanctuaries, and they dunk people in the tanks. I mean, it's incredible, really. There's a big argument about baptism. Do you sprinkle or do you dunk? Or if I had a church, I would just take a bucket of water and just, boom, just throw it on you. That'd be more fun. That would be more entertaining for the people. If you have to sit through 200 baptisms, I would think that like a slosh bucket would be just a thing, you know, like a 5 gallon. Now, it really doesn't have to be 5 gallon. It could be like more like a paint bucket. Just throw it on you. Next, come up one by one instead of going up the stairs, down the stairs, into the cement pond. Come on. But it is physical. Baptism, and again, you say, Martin, how could you make fun of baptism? It's fun of it because it's out of God's timing right now. Somebody else, I hear somebody saying, but Jesus was baptized. Yes, and it was physical. It was physical. I'm going to look at that. I will go so far as to say as the ceremony was not spiritual. Even for Jesus Christ, it was a sign to Israel. It was a physical sign that they needed. So I remember right before he raised Lazarus, he talked to his father, said, Father, you know that I glorify you and you glorify me. And I say this because of the people standing around. That's why I'm saying these things. Otherwise, I would just walk up to the tomb, knock on it and say, Lazarus, get the hell out of there. But he puts on a production, puts on a show. And he even says, look at the account of the raising of Lazarus. Father, I say this for the sake of those standing around, that they may know that you hear my voice. And so the baptism was for the sake of the people standing around. It was completely symbolic. There was nothing spiritual going on at all. Let me ask you, what could possibly be added to our Lord to make him more spiritual? Did this make him more spiritual? No. I would say that the crucifixion did, but not the baptism. It was a rite. It was a ceremony that really verified John's work. And he said he did it to fulfill all righteousness. It was the right thing to do. It didn't mean, of course, that he was made righteous. That would be obscene to say that. And no one is made righteous by baptism. And in fact, our apostle thanked God. Listen to this. He thanked God that he didn't baptize many people at all. I'm going to get to that. I'm Martin Sender, and I am happy to be with you. I already said that earlier at the beginning. Well, I'm still happy. I'm still happy to be with all of you folks. I love you all. Yeah, if you want a sign that an activity is physical and not spiritual, look no further than a church that baptized. But why wouldn't they baptize? Because the church, any church today, is a man-made structure. Church is a people, it's not a building. Church is a people. The Concordant translates it ecclesia. It means out called. Ek is out, ecclesia is to call. An ecclesia is a called out group of people. You don't go to a church, you are a church. So every church today on the street corner is a man-made structure. And they use man-made techniques to bring people in, and they create man-made tanks of water that the people are convinced that they are changed by this. But you can talk anybody into anything. You can talk anybody into anything. The way they say it is, well, you don't need it to be saved. But I really wonder if they really believe that you don't need to be baptized to be saved. I think they do, and they're going on Peter in Acts 2:38, going to get to that too, I hope. I got a lot to do. How am I going to get into all of this? But they say, well, it's not to be saved, but you need it as to show people that you're serious. I can't be serious without getting wet. I'm serious. Just believe me, I'm serious. No. Unless you get into this tank and let Pastor Jim dunk you backwards into the water, we don't know you're serious. How do we know you're serious? I'm serious. Can we do something else? No, it has to be this. See, it's something that they can show people. And Israel, and all Christians who want to be Israelites, it's all about show. It's all about the outward. It's all about the physical. Our baptism is spiritual. It is not physical. In fact, any member of the body of Christ who would be baptized in water, it would be a slap in the face to the completeness of the cross. We were baptized into Christ's death. Even Jesus' baptism, again, was symbolic. It identified him with John. It verified the work of John, and it said something to the people standing around. It was significant for the people standing around. But listen to this. I'm remembering now I had a dentist in Greenwich, Ohio, and he was working on my mouth, and it's a good thing he had three instruments and half of his hand in my mouth, because as he was telling me about the trip he made to Israel, because it was his desire to actually be baptized in the Jordan River. In the Jordan River where Jesus Christ was baptized, as if that were some sort of magical place. Reminds me of like writers and painters who in like 1995 or today want to go to Paris, because in the beginning of the 20th century, you had Hemingway there, you had James Joyce there, you had all the Impressionists there. I mean, Picasso was there, for crying out loud. The Surrealists were there. And so it was really a happening place. I think, you know, the same thing in New York, in Greenwich Village. It was a happening at a time. Same with Haight Ashbury in San Francisco. Like, you can't get that back. People go to Greenwich Village trying to relive the days when Dylan was there. People go back to San Francisco to try to relive the time when the Jefferson Airplane was there. And people go back to the Jordan River trying to relive the time that Jesus was there. Yes, I just compared Jesus to the Jefferson Airplane. You'll only hear that here on MCTV. But there's no magic about the Jordan River. There was not even any magic at the time when Jesus was there. So how much magic could there possibly be in 1995 when this dentist of mine went to the Jordan River to be baptized? It was just an exercise in pride, in display, in peacockery. It was peacockery, nothing less. Nothing more, but nothing less. Peacockery. I'm baptized in the Jordan River. That's a peacock, if you didn't know. I was baptized as a baby. I had no choice. My mom was Catholic, and they took me and the priest. And I don't know if you've heard the story before, but somebody was, a friend of Juliana's, this was maybe 5 or 6 years ago when I first moved to Florida, heard that I did a spiritual broadcast, and they were asking about it. This woman was inquiring about the validity of it, like, and she started to doubt when I started to tell her what it was about. She started to doubt that I was even saved. She said, "Have you ever been baptized?" Because that's the Christians, you know, they look at always the outward, always the physical. The spiritual is last with all of these people, but they mistake the soulish for spiritual. They mistake physical things for spiritual things. Well, she asked me if I was baptized. I said, no. No. That's not how it went. First, she asked me if I went to church. I said, no. So, oh, that was alarming to her. She asked me if I was baptized, if I had been baptized. I said, no. I could have used my line that I was baptized 2,000 years ago, because as we're going to see here in Romans 6, we're baptized into his death, but I just said no. I was kind of parrying with this woman. And then I said, no, wait. I was baptized. When I was a little baby in the Catholic Church, I was baptized. And her response was, oh, okay, good. And all that upset me. She was so relieved, like, okay, I know you're safe because you're baptized as a baby. I was like a 1 month old. So I decided I needed to torture this woman. I really needed to torture this woman because she thought that I was good with God. I was good with Christ because a priest sprinkled water on my forehead. They think the same thing today. You know, non-Catholic people? Oh, the Protestants, yeah. The Protestants criticized the Catholics, but okay, they baptize babies, but what's the difference? You're still baptizing babies. They're just 50-year-old babies, spiritual young people, and it's still water, and they still think the water is magical, and they still think that the outward profession means something to God. It doesn't. It doesn't. I will go even so far as to say it means nothing to God. I will go so far as to say God is insulted by it. Because the reality is not the water. The water is not the reality. Spirit is the reality. Anyway, that's another story, isn't it? So I needed to torture this woman. Needed to. So I said, yeah, I was baptized as a baby. And I know you're happy about that. But there's been a story that has been told in my family that my dad clearly remembers this. My mom doesn't remember, but I was making everything up as I went. My dad said that right before the priest had the water and was ready to sprinkle it on my forehead, I sneezed, as babies do. And so my head moved, and the priest, my dad swears to it to this day. I told this woman, just serious as can be, my dad swears that water never hit my forehead. I the water never touched me. And missed by a few inches. What I'm about to tell you is absolutely true. She was alarmed. She had a look on her face of panic, like, oh my God. Like, the whole joy she felt at thinking that I was baptized now all went away when that water might not have hit my forehead. What kind of a situation is this? My eternal life depends on when I sneezed as a baby, and the whole story was made up, but let's say it wasn't. And I hear the Christians arguing among themselves whether baptism is essential for salvation. See, they're thrown back by Peter in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Ooh. You know, I think Peter was talking about their specific sin at the time, plural sins, you can say, of crucifying their Messiah. But that throws them off, and so many of them think that it's essential to be baptized. And the one exception they look at is the thief on the cross. They say, well, the thief on the cross, Jesus said that, they think, today you shall be with me. I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Of course, they think that the thief went to join Jesus that day. But of course, Jesus said, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise, speaking of a future time. Because we know, but none of them know, that our Lord was dead for 3 days. They don't know that, so we have to be patient. So the thief didn't have time to be baptized, so I guess it's not absolutely essential. So it's fun watching them argue about it. Not really. I don't enjoy any of it. So let's go to our Lord's baptism. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus is coming along from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. Yet John prohibited him, saying, I have need to be baptized by thee. This is a concordant version. Why they kept the these and the thous, I don't know. They're very distracting. I need to be baptized by thee, and thou art coming to me? Yet, answering, Jesus said to him, by your leave at present. By your leave? I don't like this wording at all. For thus it is becoming for us to fulfill righteousness. Then he is giving him leave. What is this leave? I really had to look this up in the Message. Because I didn't like this, by your leave, and giving him leave. That's probably, I mean, I know it's literal, but I don't like it. So I go to the Message, which is fantastic here. Jesus then appeared, arriving at the Jordan River from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him. John objected, I'm the one who needs to be baptized, not you. Verse 15, but Jesus said, do it. Now that's a translation. Do it, instead of by your leave. Do it. God's work, putting things right all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism. So John did it. That's much better. Do it is much better than by your leave. So Jesus was fulfilling scripture. It says that it was becoming to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. That's a little vague. But it certainly doesn't mean that Jesus became righteous. It just was a fulfillment of the righteous plan of God. And it was necessary, again, for the people to see this. It gave Jesus legitimacy. This was the beginning of his public ministry. It gave him legitimacy because John was already legitimate. So this was an important link. Just like Peter was an important link to give Paul a leg up in his ministry, you have to remember the time we're in here. John the Baptist was a necessary link to give Jesus a leg up in his ministry because John was already famous. John was baptizing everybody. And baptism at that time was merely, and really, at any time, baptism, this is what it is. It's symbolic. And there's nothing magical about the water here. It identifies you with a person or a cause or a belief system. So people were baptized into John, identified with John. They were like, yeah, we're into John's message. Well, prove it. We're Israelites. You got to show me. We got to see it. We need tangible things. You got to get wet. So they were baptized by John. And then Jesus, then as all the people were, Jesus wouldn't have done this if there wasn't a crowd around. So in order to fulfill the scripture, in order to humble himself, this was a further humiliation of Christ. Think of it this way. Christ being baptized was a humiliation. He's being baptized by his cousin. He's being baptized by a regular guy. He's the Son of God, and he's succumbing to this humiliating rite. It's like getting the end of his reproduction organ cut off when he was 8 days old. That was humiliating as all get out. This is humiliating as all get out. Jesus had to eat and go to the bathroom and all these humiliations. This is another one. This is another humiliation. And it's physical. It's not spiritual. I'm telling you, it's not spiritual. Because let me ask you this. Paul says, and I wasn't going to get here till later, but let's do it now. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, but let's work up to it. I am entreating you then, I, prisoner of the Lord, I'm in Ephesians 4, starting with verse 1, to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit with the tie of peace, one body and one Spirit, according as you were called also, with one expectation of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There it is, one baptism. Read this verse to a Christian sometime and ask them, is there one baptism? Yes, Paul says there's one baptism. And then ask them this, is it water or is it spirit? Ask them that. There's one baptism, is it water or is it spirit? There's only one answer to that question, spirit. Then water is an insult to that truth, isn't it? Water is a complete insult to that truth. And what is our baptism? First, I want to read a comedic part of scripture to you. It is Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 11. He starts out by saying, "It was made evident to me concerning you, my brethren, that by those of Chloe, they were tattletales. They went to Paul, told Paul that there are strifes among you." Verse 12, "Now I am saying this, that each of you is saying, 'I indeed am of Paul, yet I of Apollos, I of Cephas, I of Christ.' Christ is parted. Not Paul was crucified for your sakes, or into the name of Paul are you baptized?" So Paul didn't like that there were these sects forming. People were identifying. They were separating themselves by different categories. Paul says in verse 14, here's the shock. This is entertaining to me. "I am thanking God that I baptize not one of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone may be saying that you're baptized into my name. Yet I baptized the household of Stephanas also." Like he remembers, "Oh yeah, no, wait a minute. I did baptize one other guy, Stephanas. But Christ has not commissioned me to be baptizing." Well, this is interesting. This is our apostle. Christ doesn't commission him to be baptizing, but to be bringing the evangel, not in wisdom of word, lest the cross of Christ may be made void. Paul is relating wisdom of word to baptism here. And the result of both of these things is that the cross of Christ is made void. The cross of Christ is that sufficiency. The cross of Christ is the all-important thing. That is our sufficiency. We're complete in Christ. Complete. What business would you, a complete person, Paul says you're complete in him. Colossians 2, verse 10. You're complete in him. What would a complete person be doing to go into a baptismal tank? What an insult to you're a complete person. You're complete in Christ. And the cross, you make void the cross of Christ by being baptized. By getting water sprinkled on you or being dunked in water. And Paul even is mourning that he baptized anybody because the Lord did not commission him to be baptizing. Paul's embarrassed. These churches aren't embarrassed. They're advertising it on their front pages. 200 baptisms this weekend. Woo-hoo! 200 baptisms. Ah-ah! Pukkakery. And here's Paul apologizing for baptizing anybody. Why would Paul be apologizing for baptizing people? This is why. Romans 6:3. "Or are you ignorant that whoever are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death?" That's our baptism. "We then," verse 4, "were entombed together with him through baptism into death." He says it again. We're baptized into his death, and then we were entombed together with him through baptism into death. That's our baptism. "That even as Christ was roused from among the dead through the glory of the Father, thus we also should be walking in newness of life." Baptism identifies us with Christ's death. So when people ask me nowadays, if I don't want to torture them, they ask me if I was baptized, I say yes. And this is a good answer for you. You can steal this answer. I probably stole it from somebody myself. Yes, I was baptized 2,000 years ago. What? Yes, I was baptized into Christ's death. What did I say earlier? Baptism is an identification with a movement or a person or a teaching or a truth. This is baptism into a truth and into a person. It's baptism into the truth that our old humanity was crucified with Christ, and it's symbolic. The spirituality of this is real, but us being with him in baptism is symbolic because we weren't literally there, were we? But the entire human race was considered by God. That's why I say it's symbolic. It was considered by God to have been killed at the crucifixion of Christ, because in God's mind, the whole human race was represented by Christ. Christ became the last Adam. Adam brought all humanity into sin and death, and Christ put death to death. And the same all that was condemned in Adam. Romans 5, 18 and 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. The same all that were condemned in Adam are justified and vivified by Christ. And the old humanity that was started by Adam was put to death at the cross and put into the tomb. And our identity is with that. Why? Because God said so. God said so. That's why. There's no other reason. It's the most satisfying reason. How could a whole human race be identified with Christ? How could my sin be taken care of by Christ going to the cross and then being entombed and then raising from the dead? Because God said that's what happened. That's the answer. You don't have to know any other reason. Because God said that's what he did. And we believe it by faith. Oh, this is a beautiful thing, my friends. Absolutely beautiful. That we should be walking in newness of life. So now we're walking in newness of life. I'm walking in newness of life. So now somebody's going to put me into a tank of water? A complete person walking in newness of life whose baptism, whose real baptism, whose spiritual baptism was 2,000 years ago, you're going to put me in a tank of water? Can you see what an insult, what a slap in the face that would be to Christ? And yet churches all over the world are bragging about how many people they put into the tank of water. Well, they're Israelite. They're not in the body of Christ. This is body of Christ truth, what I've been reading you from Romans 6 and 1 Corinthians 1. Our apostle did not baptize. And there's one baptism, Ephesians 4. Notice the trend here. 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Romans 6. This is Paul. This is body of Christ truth. This is not truth for these wannabe Israelites, for these church people. These people are going to be around for the tribulation. And when Jesus Christ told his disciples, go then, baptize all the nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, are you aware that none of the apostles did that? None of them baptized with that formula. And it is a formula. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't say that this baptism is going to happen in the future when he returns, because he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the consummation of the eon. This was Matthew 28. He said, lo, I am with you. But then he leaves right after that. So the disciples understood that this baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they only baptized in the name of Jesus. They never did what he said because they knew it was a future reality in the future. But even then, Jesus himself doesn't link this baptism with salvation. He just says, go be baptizing all the nations. It will at that time in the future. That's why I said at the beginning that it's out of time. What they're doing now, what the Christian churches are doing now, is out of time, out of season. Even then, it won't even be for salvation. It'll be identification with the cause, with the movement, with the truth. And the cause, movement, and truth at that time will be the knowledge of the glory of God will be covering the earth as the water covers the sea. Just don't let the water cover you today.